There's too many of you crying. Brother, brother, brother. There's far too many.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram. You're back to the Earl Ingram Show as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. It's Monday. That means Monday's with my guest, host Sandy Williams. Good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing all right. We had a interesting breakfast on Saturday.
Yeah, and we want to thank Sharky and his club for inviting Sandy and I on Saturday to a wonderful, wonderful breakfast. And we met some wonderful listeners to our show in Racine on radio station WRJN. Good morning to all of you and who's from the gathering we had on Saturday and all the rest of you who are listening in Racine.
So, Monday morning, I woke up looking for news, and what did we have? We had Orson Welles and the invasion from Mars. Yeah, I kind of like that.
Sandy.
Whistleblowers and alien biologics, and it was like I was listening to sci-fi on the way here.
Sandy, do you believe in the little green? Well,
I believe in anything that's factual, so if this is factual, I believe in it. But the question from my standpoint is this going to end up being another huge distraction? I mean, even if it's true, what do we do with the information, and what does it cause us to do? And you know, a little part of me imagines that an extraterrestrial threat to the world could unite the world. That would be like the best thing possible, so long as it doesn't end up being the end of the world. But as you and I were talking before we went on the air, my fear is that this kind of thing can be a distraction from solving for daycare and solving for crime in the cities and solving for our actual problems.
You know, Sandy, as I said to you, I'm more frightened by human beings with guns than I am with some little green men coming in from outer space. And maybe depending on where you live, there's only one death, and so whether it's by somebody with a bullet or whether it's by somebody from outer space somewhere, I'm not wasting any time in my life worrying about whether somebody from Mars or Venus or Saturn or Pluto or the moon is coming to get us. You said if there's truth to it, Sandy, and you're a bright man, but how can you, what truth are they talking about?
Well, I don't know. They've got, these whistleblowers. Well, here's another thing. This is all, on Friday we were talking about this, but the cynicism we have about the truthfulness of our government is now again in display because we've got people who are whistleblowers who have to come forth with secrets the government are keeping from us. And are they or aren't they? We don't know. But we're aware that we're cynical enough to understand the government keeps lots of secrets from us. And now the whistleblower is suggesting that this information about aliens has been kept secret, a dark secret by the United States for decades. While they've been supposedly investigating non-human biologics, whatever that means exactly. That sounds like scat that you can't identify well. Scat's a camping term.
The refuge from animals.
Animals, right. So, I don't know. I mean, if it becomes factual, I buy facts. That's what we ought to be all about. But I'm with you that we've got plenty more important things. We got bigger fish to fry, bigger fish to fry.
You know, to me, it's an entertainment portion of the news. And sometimes maybe with all the other things going on, you need some levity. And to me, that's levity. That's the way I look at it. I don't look at it as they're coming.
Yeah.
You know, I can't sleep tonight because I gotta keep my eye.
E.T. goes home.
Phone home.
E.T.'s not a very scary concept, but he gets into it.
Anyway, we would just see how long and how far they'll go with this, right?
Yeah.
Because at some point in time, it's going to play out. The other part of it is, let's say it was true. Let's say the government did know some of these things. I would not hold it against the government for not, in this instance, for not telling the American people or the people of the earth that there may be
To be honest with you, I'm not willing to give the government the right to decide what should be secret. So if they made a right decision about this, that was just lucky. Okay. That would be a coincidental, because I don't think the government's decisions about what to keep secret are almost ever made on good faith.
Well, I'm saying in this instance, people would panic.
It all depends on how it's presented to them. I mean, okay. we aren't panicking today.
No, well, because...
And it looks, well, it sounds like it could be possible, but I don't think people are going to panic. I think secrecy, and particularly government secrets, tend to be very suspect
in my mind. You know what's powering the economy and why the economy continues to grow in the face of all these things? According to today's Washington Post, the infrastructure and green energy spending are powering the economy.
Well, all you have to do is drive from Ozaukee County to Waukesha County on the highway and understand how much money is flowing into the economy. I mean, gosh, if you and I only owned a cement business, Earl, we wouldn't be on the radio. We'd be in exotic places all the time. No, I mean, there's obviously a lot of money that's coming into the construction trades, into the construction business, into that kind of service sector, the infrastructure service sector, that is got to be a powerful flywheel for the economy. That plus the service sector right now. I mean, if you look at the jobs reports, it's the service sector that continues to bulk up on jobs.
So with that having been said, Sandy, is it safe to say that if these things and the money wasn't flowing, the money flowing, has that helped not force
us into a recession?
Yes.
Yes. I would say that, you know, the so-called Bidenomics, but the situation we have right now in the economy, I guess I have for a couple of years been sort of semi-optimistically suggesting we could have the soft landing.
Right.
And now the majority of economists are looking at the situation and saying, yeah, you know, it looks like soft landing is actually going to happen. And the Fed has stopped predicting a recession. And so, you know, it looks like the sun, the moon, and the stars for the economy have lined up so that we have robust jobs. We had inflation that is abating at a rather rapid clip. I think the most recent measurement for core inflation was 3%, or a little north of 3%, which is very close to the targeted 2%.
Yeah.
And in fact, in my college days when I was studying economics, that the targeted inflation was 3%. So, you know, we've come a long way in this economy without suffering a real recession, and happily there has been some adjustment to wages during this process. I mean, a main discussion about inflation was the fear that we would have a wage price spiral, that where the wages would go up and pull the prices up based on the ability of those with higher wages to bid prices up. Maybe that's not going to happen. I mean, we could be in a situation where the best of all economic world is going to result.
So even, Sandy, if, you know, that 3%, the Fed wasn't satisfied with it, they did another interest rate
yeah.
increase.
Yeah.
And so where do they...
Well, they announced almost implicitly, almost explicitly.
Is this the last one?
That this would be probably the last one, that they were talking about how it looked like things were tapering to the point where, so I think they were trying to give a hint that, look, this could be the last one so that the marketplace out there would not take a dim view of the potential that we would go all the way to recession. So, you know, I think they're trying to skate a fine line here, and they might succeed. You know, it is true we have they might succeed. I think they are succeeding so far.
They wanted to slow the economy down, right?
Well, they wanted to slow it down some. It is slowing down. They wanted to slow it down without achieving recession. So far, they have. There is this continued pretty robust jobs in sector, so that's a flywheel sort of underpinning for the economy that keeps us out of recession.
So it not only does it keep us out of recession, people will say, "Hey, the home prices have increased. You know, the loan for a brand new car is, you know, where it hasn't been in what 20 years." And,
there's medicine. There's medicine that we're taking, but the question is whether the medicine we take drives us all the way into a painful recession, or do we just have situational pain now? And it is true. It's houses have gotten more expensive. Buying a house has gotten more expensive. We continue to have some inflation in the produce area. People can point at things that are more expensive, but the general economy, if you take a macro look, step back, look at the forest, not at the trees, the economy continues to be quite sound.
So Sandy the economist, you got on your economist hat, what they've been able to do is really amazing, the Feds.
Yeah, you know, we can attribute too much to them. There's been a confluence of situational things here. There were situational causes for the inflation, in spite of what CJ wanted to talk about it being government policies. It had a lot more to do with pandemic, supply chain blockages, pandemic problems. So those things, and also the war in Ukraine, all these situational things that were creating inflation. So if inflation was not embedded in the economy based on an inflationary outlook that people had, then it might be easier to work your way out of the inflation, and I think that's what happened.
All right, got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Sandy Williams, Under the Hill. Oh, no. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
show as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. And, you know, Sandy, we're talking about inflation, the infrastructure and green energy spending and power in the economy and the difference between the money that was infused into the economy during COVID and the fact that this infrastructure money is also being infused. What's the difference when it comes to inflation?
Well, you know, when money flows into the banking system, banks multiply the dollar that you put in the bank, they multiply it by lending it out. And when you get done with this bank multiplier, a dollar can turn into $4, okay? When a dollar flows into someone's pocket in the form of salary, if they don't save it and if it doesn't get into a bank, if it simply flows through the economy because you spend it, you go to the grocery store and buy more groceries, you maybe buy a car that you weren't going to buy.
Right.
You do some things with that money.
But isn't that fueling the economy?
It definitely fuels the economy, but it doesn't have the same multiplier effect until it gets into the bank multipliers process. There is a multiplier effect when you pay someone, because that money does get then spread out over some other people, a drugstore person, the
right.
grocery store people, what have you. But the most violent sort of stimulation occurs when you put money into a bank and they can turn around and lend it and turn $1 into $4. And all that money flows into the economy in the same manner as a dollar that's spent by the government, right? So the bank is sort of like a multiplier of money that at the starting point, okay? It flows into the economy. They lend it out. The person they lend it out to spends it. That money gets spent and gets into people's pockets, and it begins to flow around the economy in the same way as a dollar spent by the government.
So then, based on what you just said, Sandy, then once the interest rates start rising, the bank is not going to be able to do that, and then that slows things
down. That's why the Federal Reserve interest policy is a pretty strong set of brakes, because it puts brakes on the rate at which banks lend money, and that puts a brake on the rate at which banks multiply the currency out there in the economy. When a government spends money that's a deficit dollar, they are creating a dollar that way. So it's a bit like the multiplier a bank does, but that's only a one-time multiplier, right? That's just one new dollar. Banks multiply those dollars by three or four when they get through with the lending process. So people don't think about this, but banks really perform a process that multiplies the level of currency in our economy in a pretty stimulating way. And so one of the things that caused our long-term bull market and the long-term prosperity of this country was 2% and 1% interest rates, which made it possible for banks, for people to borrow money almost painlessly, and banks to lend money very easily.
So now that we're at this point, the last time, I can't remember prior to this one, that we're just getting out of, where interest rates were 0%, 2%.
No, in your lifetime and in my lifetime.
Never.
Never. So that was, in our lifetime after World War II, interest rates during the 50s, mortgages were at the 4.5%, 4% range. And they were that into the early 60s. And from then on, they never saw that level again, but they never got anything like down to 1%.
So what you're saying is, may not see this ever again in the next lifetime.
Right. I mean, we can.
All the stars were aligned.
Yes, we got spoiled for the last 10 years by beginning to believe and as
zero interest rate,
1% interest, 1.5% interest. People began to believe that that was a norm, when all you had to do was look at 50 or 60 years of data to realize that you were at the very, very bottom of a very long-term history of what interest rates could and would be in the norm. 4.5%, 5% is a norm, okay? And anything below that, abnorm.
So right now, some of the interest rates, 6%, 7%, right. It's going to take, and before it even moves from there, we're talking years.
No, things don't happen in years in the economy. I mean, trends tend to move over years. So if you look at the interest rate processes over the long term, a 60 or 70 year history, you'll see kind of long term trends up and rather rapid falls down. When prices of things go down, they actually go down quite quickly.
So, Sandy, the stability that the Federal Reserve is looking for is some kind of stability in the economy. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Mondays. That means my co-host Sandy Williams is holding down the fort. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning, Gary. You say what, sir?
Hey, you know, you guys are talking about interest rates. It's in my business, I have a savings, okay? So it's, and my house is paid off and all my cars are paid off. So interest rates, as far as getting a loan, doesn't affect me at all. But when I was making 0.001% on my money and in my, what I have in my bank account and everything like that, savings account, that was horrible. I was, you know, now we're making like, I think it's the, we have it in the, a one-year CD, and then I have some in Fluid so I can take money out in case I need it. But we're making, like, I think it's almost 5%, like 4.75%. And that makes a huge difference on what we make at the end of the year compared to losing my shirt. I called the bank, and I asked them, I said, how much is a loan if I need to get a loan for a house? And then they said, well, we got a loan right now. This was, like, about a year ago. And then they said, I think it's like 4.5%. That's a really good deal. I said, okay. Now, for me to borrow my money, I have a lot of money in their bank, okay? And I asked them, I said, so for me to borrow literally my own money, it's going to cost me around 4% or so. And yet, what are you paying me? And they said, well, we're paying you 0.001%. And I was so pissed off. I just pulled my money out.
You just described what banking is, though. You know, people put money into deposits because it's convenient and necessary. And the banking industry over the period of several decades got into the position where they didn't have to pay anything to people for their deposits. Savings account used to be something you'd put your money in, you'd get interest on, and savings account about disappeared as a method for earning money. But Gary, And I'm proud of you, and you should be proud of yourself. You've obviously done very well, and you're successful. the problems you describe are really first world problems as far as the United States is concerned in terms of the median family. When we have this discussion, we're certainly not talking to the median family in the United States, because the median family doesn't even have savings, and they don't have businesses, and they don't have
wealth. And the homes aren't paid
for. They don't have wealth accumulations, and they don't have homes that are paid for. But you are describing the banking environment that became a strange one, okay? It was totally out of sync with long-term history. When we got down to the world of essentially zero interest, and money wasn't worth anything to the banks in terms of paying people for it. And it's been the last 2 years. And like you said, today you can earn 5%. I was just saying to Earl off the air, those kind of interest rates are actually sucking money out of the stock market, because why would you put money in the stock market if you can earn a very safe 5% on essentially treasuries and safe investments? But you're describing a very real phenomena, and you're lucky to experience it.
I want to say one other thing. I like listening to you guys, Earl Stoll, because when I call up or anybody else calls up, Earl looks at his callers as guests. He doesn't sit there and answer the phone and put you on hold for 45 minutes like some of the other guys that work at the station do. And so I really appreciate you guys taking my calls like right away. So I do like listening, you know. So you guys are good guys, and I enjoy listening both you guys.
All right, man. Thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Enjoy your dialogue and conversation. Let me ask you, Sandy. You know, Senator McConnell, now there's nonstop calls for what happens to Senator McConnell, and we got to do something now. And now they're showing more of California's Dianne Feinstein.
Right.
And now they're clamoring their calls. Now we've got to do something more about these elder states people.
Well, you know, we've talked on the air for a couple of years about how it is the baby boomers haven't let go. You know, we have, I forget the number, either $54 or $74 trillion worth of wealth that we're still holding on to. But you know, I have a more cynical view of this as well. Not only these people who are in power are holding on to power for their own purposes, but there are people behind them, okay? The lobbyists in Washington have developed strong relationships with existing power broker leaders in Washington, and they don't want to have to do it over again. They've developed a very sound and powerful relationship, I'm sure, with Mitch McConnell. I'm sure that Mitch McConnell has 26 people he talks to regularly, many of them lobbyists. Same is true on the Democratic side. Anyone who's been in Washington a long time has become a known quantity, and the power brokers behind the situation in Washington know who they are. They don't want to change them out because they got to start over again. And so I think that one of the reasons these people don't move out of power is the people who are power brokers behind the power don't want them to, okay? They might well be willing to step down, but they've got people persuading them to stay in power. You got to stay there, Mitch. You got to keep doing this. The world needs you. You know, mainly we need you. And so leaders in politics get a lot of that kind of treatment. Politicians are in many respects front men for all their staff and all the power brokers that relate to them behind the scenes. And whereas we talk about the politicians by name and identify them, in fact, if you look at a Venn diagram about who they are, they're really the personification of a bunch of staff who draw their power from them, as well as a bunch of private interests who also have a comfortable, powerful situation with them.
Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines and CJ. Go ahead, CJ.
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. Chuck Grassley said, there's an amazing guy right there. He's got his wits about him, cognitive ability, above and beyond.
Who are you talking about?
Senator Grassley.
You're saying
He's the octogenarian senator from Iowa.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Great American. You're talking about interest rates. I just want to remind you they're high, and the Democrats and the president will chant his inflation's down, but interest rate is more than triple what it was 3 years ago. And trying to sell or buy a house just limited your market to people who are interested in buying a certain price home. So it's exactly the same way using our gas reserves, our national reserves, and dropping the price of gas per gallon by 10 cents. It's a myth. It's not true. And we used our strategic oil reserve that is down almost as low as it's ever been. And it's meant for our military. This administration is disgusting, the way they're putting this old senile gentleman. He can't even say the Secretary Buttigieg.
So let me That's ask you, CJ. CJ, you're calling Biden an old senile gentleman. What do you call Mitch McConnell?
Mitch makes sense most of the time till he.
Well, I mean, you can't point. You can't just point to one.
Well, let's just talk, CJ, and I think we've let you proceed there. Interest rates for mortgages are actually, if you look at a 60-year time period, the interest rates for mortgages aren't high. They're right at about an average over a 60-year time frame. So what were interest rates 4 years ago? They were exceedingly low. And it's not that Donald Trump made them low. Those interest rates went from the long-term average interest rate in 2006 to 1.5% after 2008. And the reason was the financial collapse that was heralded at the end of the Bush administration. And so we ended up with a financial calamity that drove interest rates down, and they never recovered. But no one ever believed that the U.S. economy was in a healthy circumstance if we were going to have 1.5% or 2% prevailing interest rates over the very long term. And no one with any historic sense thought that interest rates or mortgage rates would continue to be at the long-term historic lows that they were during that time frame. So, yes, they're higher. No, they're not higher than the long-term average. And yes, the fact that they're higher does make home ownership more expensive and might make it harder to sell homes. But incidentally, if you looked at the value of your home, CJ, I think you'd find
that
it's risen and it has continued to rise. So I don't think we're talking hardship.
CJ, quickly.
You still didn't address the issue. Interest rates are higher because they had to slow inflation because of this president. And you're just a big excuse for him, Sandy. It's unbelievable.
Hey, CJ.
The rose-colored glasses you look at through this
CJ,
president.
Don't you do the same thing for the other side?
No, I don't. We have 1.4% inflation and our GDP was 6.8%.
Have you not listened to anything Sandy has explained about... Have you not, the last hour, have you not listened to anything he explained about the economy and how those things work? Because I learned a lot over this last hour with Sandy about the economy and how it works.
Inflation is down because he drove interest rates up, and that's the president and his party's fault. You can make all the excuses you want for this guy. He's a disaster, both politically,
Okay, CJ, we got it. Thank you very much for the call. Things don't change, right?
Well, you know, we did have inflation. There were a whole bunch of reasons for it, some of them political and many of them happenstantial. And are we having a soft landing? It appears we might be. And so the circumstances, the inflation actually... To the extent that things adjust themselves on a soft landing basis, we have adjusted a bunch of wages upwards. So one thing this inflationary period did promote was wage adjustments for Tom, Dick, and Mary, for many of them at least. So while they were suffering at the grocery store, they did experience wage increases. And in the long term, when groceries and gasoline returns to a more normal kind of a pathway, those wages will stick.
All right, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Mondays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. We'll be right back.
We find ourselves in a world of our own.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone, so in love are we two that we don't know what to do, so in love, in the world of our own. As we stroll by the sea together, under stars twinkling high above, so in love are we two, no one else but me and you, so in love, so much in love, so in love.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ancient Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Sandy, that's the times.
Yeah.
And they go back.
That's in the 50s. Yeah, I think late 50s.
That's in the 50s.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. You know, Sandy, this is uncharted territory. Donald Trump is expanding his lead on, what's his name?
DeSantis.
What's his name?
DeSanctimonious?
Yeah. What's his name? And he's really stretching out the lead where there's not going to be any question whatsoever about who's going to win the nomination. And Sandy, how does this nation proceed with a man that is under all of this scrutiny, $41 million worth of
Legal fees.
At the same time, he's running for president of the United States. Try to help me in this scenario.
I heard an analyst discussing it, and I had to agree with him entirely, which is that for many people, for those who are skeptical and critical of Donald Trump, they think all this legal trouble is a proper manifestation of the reckless way that this person operates in their life, okay? But there are others who look at this and say that the fact of all these indictments is simply proof that there is, in fact, an establishment embedded government that's basically a deep state, you know, without using those terms because they sound conspirational, that there is this establishment in government that wants to overturn anti-establishment figures who are standing up to them, okay? And they view Donald Trump as this heroic guy who's standing up against this liberal government establishment that is essentially a deep state of bureaucrats who are after them and are doing all of this to get their own way, okay? And so if you look at it from that side and you have those glasses on, then you look at the kinds of offenses that Donald Trump is being charged with and whether they're felonies or not, they don't seem like, they're not rape. You know, that's been alleged about him, but, you know, they aren't physical assaults. These are all sort of technical crimes in their mind. These are technical crimes. And these technical crimes are being pursued against this guy because it's a deep state witch hunt, because that's what Donald Trump tells them it is, and they buy it. And so for the people who support Donald Trump, all this indictment activity is making them feel stronger about him, more committed to him.
So you've explained it just right, but I clearly don't understand how these documents that nobody was supposed to be able to see. Clearly, he understood that. And nobody's arguing whether or not he had those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a minor thing, right?
But they aren't alleging that he handed them over to a foreign government yet. You know, that hasn't been alleged yet or leaked. So that all of this seems like, well, what the heck? You know, I have secret documents in my office. I bring them home. I show them to my wife. I mention them at a bridge game. No harm, no foul kind of a thing.
So the January 6th thing.
Yeah. Well, that is something everyone watched and reached their own conclusions about. You know, the fact that someone decides to bring an action about it is there isn't any evidence any better than what we all saw. Okay, all saw it with our own eyes. And there are some people who saw that with their own eyes who choose to view it entirely differently than I do.
Right.
Or than you do.
True.
And so there's nothing that a federal DA, a federal prosecutor is going to do to change someone's mind about a whole fact situation that they watched.
So, Sandy, I guess what I'm saying is, how do we get beyond this? It's not when you see, before a year ago when Donald Trump said, I'm going to run again, he was polling at 25%.
Right.
And many of these people who have now come back to Donald Trump, he was under scrutiny then.
Well, here's what I don't quite understand. Everyone who watched that on TV was willing to bail out on Donald Trump in the 12 or 14 hours after that time period, including Kevin McCarthy, including all these political leaders, and I think including lots of responsible Americans. Somehow, as time has lapsed since then, people are looking at it differently and are beginning to again view him as a champion rather than...
Because they're looking at it differently because he's on the scene and he continues to say that this didn't happen. It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt. It's a witch hunt.
Yeah.
I know what I saw. And many of us know what we saw. But I guess, Sandy, my real issue is not even just the fact that it's how can we get beyond it? Because even if Donald Trump loses, that group of people aren't going anywhere.
Right. I mean, the problem is that, like I said on Friday, we had Richard Nixon, who at least respected our democracy and our form of government and the process enough to go off, to resign and go off into the darkness and solitude of semi-exile to save our country, really, because it could have stirred us up into real pieces. But we know that Donald Trump isn't going to do that. He's already not doing it. He's already having his lawyers indicate that an indictment will threaten our democracy. So, I mean, he represents, on an explicit basis, a direct threat to the democracy if things don't go his way.
All right, we got to go. Sandy, we'll see you back again on Friday. Always good to have you in, my friend. Got to go. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be back on tomorrow. Been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. See you later.